Good morning again.
Good morning.
We are in John 15, verse 17 through verse 25 this morning, 17 to 25. What do we hate? I asked this question in Sunday school class this morning. What do we hate?
Brussels sprouts.
We have a list of things, don't we? I think there was a few others that joined you on that. Brussels sprouts. We have foods, right, that we say we hate. Maybe other people love them. Maybe you love your job or your career, but there's something that you have to do from time to time that you say you hate. Maybe it's conflict. You hate that? Family, friends. Suffering. We hate suffering, right? Suffering of others. Maybe for you it's the bugs. Insects. One of my daughters hates the insects. Snakes. Spiders. What is it that you say you hate? Why? Is it the right word? Hate? The world is confused on this concept, actually confused on the concept of love and hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see it everywhere. What does the Bible say? That's our question this morning. And Jesus, this morning in the text, speaks on hate. And that might be a shock to some of us, probably not in here. But if you heard someone say that Jesus speaks on hate, they may go, well, that can't be. He's love, right? Love everything, love everyone. It's all love. The book's all love. Well, he speaks on hate this morning. So we're going to look at it in three parts. Hatred of the world, persecution is coming, and guilty of sin. John 15, verse 17. Let's stand as we read God's word together. These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much again for this morning together. We thank you that we can gather as your people and we can gather around your holy word. Help us lean in such a way that we maybe learn something. Help us lean in such a way this morning that we take us with us into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, we start here this morning by turning our attention back to where we've been for the last several weeks. That was verse 17. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Love. These things that I have told you to do is so that you will love. things? Well, everything we've been looking at. Abiding in Him and praying to Him and producing the fruit that the life of a Christian will produce. These things will lead to love. Your love of the Father and the Father's love of you, your love of the Son and the Son's love of you, and your love for one another. All these things grow from your faith. That's where we've been. Where are we this morning? Hate. Now, if that sounds opposite, it's because it is. And it is intentional, because what Jesus points us to this morning is the contrast between being His and being the world. The difference, love versus hate. And you may say that seems too simple or even seems off. Well, let's dive in to see what he means. The hatred of the world. Jesus speaking, and he speaks of hate. In what way? What is our context here? Well, faithful followers listening to his final instructions, and what he points to is what is coming for them. Verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Can we all agree that hate is a strong word? Amen. It is a strong word that I try to get my children not to use. Our house sort of defaults to extreme words. You know, many of y'all's houses probably do too, right? Never, always, right? Love, hate. I teach that hate is a big word that you normally do not need. Emotional word. Jesus used it. Does he mean it? Yes. Now here he says, both if the world hates and the world hates you. He says both. It can't be both, right? They might and they do. What he means is that if you are his, you will be hated. The if is there to imply to make sure. And we have a great example of this, even in this sort of scene we've been lingering in for a while with Judas leaving the upper room, right? The world did not hate Judas. The world sought out Judas to help him. So if you are his. And there's another if in this section. If you were of the world would love you. There's our dividing line. Loved or hated by those who do not believe. That's the definition of world here. It's not world planet. It's not world everyone everywhere. It's worldly. It's lack of faith versus of faith. So, of the world or just passing through with a place already prepared for you. The line separating these two based solely on Jesus. Chosen out of the world, right? That's what we looked at last week, and it's what is said here this morning. His chosen, which is those who believe in the Son, will be hated. We know this to be true. The world seemingly and exponentially hates all who stand against anything they say today. No more room for discussions, no more room for disagreements. Say yes or hate it. More on that in a moment as we move to persecution, but we need to address the why that Jesus points to hate. Hate is a tool of Satan, and yet not all hate is equal. God calls us to hate. What do I mean? Well, example, Psalm 97, verse 10. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. Amos 5, 15, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. So we're all called to hate things, hate evil, hate the things that God hates. That's what we're called to do. Do we? It's not hate as in mean and spiteful. That's what comes to mind when we think hate, right? Hateful, anger. But pointing out wrongs, we must do that. Point out the things God hates, and people will call you hateful for it. And we have a statement for this, right? I think we said, for as long as I can remember, you're supposed to hate the sin and love the sinner, right? That's the phrase that we use often, though we use it, we don't really mean it that way. When we say it, we mean ignore the sin and love the sinner. Because that's what we typically do. Well, the worldly hate he refers to here is a little bit different. The root of real worldly hate, which is the hating the things of God, that's what it is, being repelled by holiness, this hate has roots found in the first to ever really hate, Satan hates everything of God. When he says the world will hate you because they hate him, it is because of Satan and the fallenness ushered in. The celebration of the things against God and the backlash for you not joining in is because of Satan. But the world tells me it's good. And it feels good. It's what I want. How can it be wicked? How can it be of Satan and a hatred of God? How? A hatred of God because it is against the Word of God. It is that simple. The thing you do that this book says do not do is a stance against your Creator. And if not repented of, then a thing you choose instead of Him. Of Satan because he will use any and all tactics to separate you from God, even the ones that feel good. Who is Satan? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's what he does. That's who he is. 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, if he can be like an angel of light, then he can convince the world and you that the thing you hold on to will not drag you down. He can and he will and he has all over this place we call home. Has he done it to you? Doesn't have to be present. That's the statement you hear most often, right? Satan was tempting me. Ultimately, yes, but he is not everywhere all the time. What is everywhere all the time is his influence or our fallenness, the fallenness of the world. His propaganda. We've come to know that word recently. His dimming down of what God lights up. Can you see that in your life? You will be hated by the world if you point it out. And you will be hated if you let go of that thing because of God, but you must do it. You must do it because the if in this section is big. If separated from the world, if hated by it, it is because you stand with Him. But if you fit in, if you are embraced, if you're accepted and loved by this world and its ruler, you see nothing wrong with the things that people or that you lean into, then the if in this text means you are not His. That's the line.
Amen.
Never perfect, but must be repentant. Never perfect, but also must be able to see when falling short. Take a look at your life. What have you been standing for? What have you been letting in? What have you been ignoring? Repent and believe, and then hold on. Persecution is coming. In verse 20, we get a topic here that we've seen before. And maybe you're thinking, man, why does this section got to be so down? Hate, persecution, we're going to move to guilt. That's one of the pluses, or maybe you think minus of going verse by verse through Scripture. It's not all the so-called good stuff, though in reality, it's all the good stuff. All the things we need to hear. And in verse 20, we're back to servant master again. A servant's not greater than his master. And we understand that. We've looked at it before. A master directs, a servant serves, a manager decides, an employee does. This is not what he argues here, though. What he argues here is that the servant is not greater than the master in terms of treatment. And that seems upside down to say, right? We know the inverse, right? The master is better in terms of treatment. Slave, servant, that's our boss. Here, the servant will not escape if the master did not escape. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It's an argument from greater to less. If it happened to the Son of God, then you better prepare for it.
Amen.
What does this mean? In our context of God is love, and the things of God are loving, and the world is hate, and the things of the world are wicked, if you love God, you will be hated and you will be persecuted. You're not above what the world did to Jesus. You're not above what the world did to the apostles. I know that this is a place that Americans rarely stand, right? I know persecution's not normal in our minds. It's not normal, but it's being made more normal every day. That's what the Bible tells us, the direction the world will go. And now our own country says almost everyone every day is persecuted except Christians. We would be the persecutors in the eyes of the world, which simply means you don't say yes to everything.
Amen.
We do not accept that everything is for your good, and that means we persecute. Of course, that's false. That's upside down. But I want us to focus on what Jesus says in this text. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Meaning, if you are His, if you follow this Lord, if you have repented of the things of the world and have turned to your Savior, then His faith will be your faith too. Now we understand this already and we accept this fully on the eternity side. Call it the benefit side, the good part side. We understand this. His fate is ours too. He defeated death, so we'll defeat death, right? Great. He goes to prepare a place, so we will be with Him. Great. That's not what's in focus here. Persecution will fall on those who believe. I want us to see briefly what that meant for Jesus and His apostles. And we know the stories. Jesus was celebrated, triumphal entry. And what immediately followed within the same week of that celebration was betrayal and arrest and trials and beatings and torture and crucifixion and death. That was the result of Jesus simply stating who He was. Performing miracles brought Him these things. That was the result of standing in contrast to the worldly and to the ruler of this world. It was the Son of God that this happened to. How about the apostles? Well, through the Bible, combined with church history, combined with church tradition. We know what happened to them for claiming that Jesus is who he says he is. That's all they did. Jesus is who he says he is. Of course, Judas, the betrayer, committed suicide. Five of the others were crucified, Peter being the one who requested it be upside down. I cannot die the same way he died. I'm not worthy of that. Two died by stoning, one by spear, another by beheading. One we simply know to be martyred without detail. Then we have John, our author of this gospel we are in, the only one to reach old age. He was given the grace and blessing to write his letters and to write the gospel and to write Revelation toward the end of the first century. And yet we also know that he was exiled, right? He was sort of house arrested, sent to an island after, according to tradition, he survived being boiled alive. That's the story of Jesus and the story of the 12, and it's also the story of Stephen, and it's the story of Paul, and it's the story of most of the early church leaders. And likely our initial reaction to this is, well, that was then, this is now, but that's just merely our ignorance of being American. In the year 2024, there are more persecutions than there ever has been. Ever has been. Partly because there's more people than there ever has been, and partly because the world is more wicked than it ever has been.
Amen.
Hundreds of millions fall under the varying definition of persecution. There are 76 countries in which being a Christian can lead to your death. That's probably any country you can actually name that is not considered the West. And it's not for any real crime, not for any wicked thing, for claiming Jesus. Thank God for being raised here, right? Amen. And yet, being here will not keep you from persecution. It will happen if you are His. It will happen if your faith is lived. Our country and its leadership guarantees that today. Jesus says that this is because they, the world, the unbelievers, do not know God. That's what this text says. This is easy to see when we look around. God has been replaced by almost anything else, but Jesus has been making this plain to us all throughout this gospel. To know the Father is to know Him. To have the Father is to have Him. Him and the Father are one. The rejection of Jesus is the rejection of God, and that is the standard in the world we live in. Jesus seemingly the only thing allowed to be rejected today. I want us to spend a few moments on the last part of verse 20 before we move on. We've already covered, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Then it says, if they kept my word, they will also keep yours. What is this? Well, the context is Jesus speaking to the 12, so this is Jesus saying that those who believe in Him will keep His word. We've been saying that for weeks, but also will keep the words of the apostles. That's what's in view here. We'll keep our words too if our words are from this book, from Jesus, from the apostles. Now, this is a wake-up call to those who read and follow the red letters only. To those who say, show me where Jesus said it. To those who say, my sin is okay because it's Paul who didn't like it and not Jesus. Your red letters just said to keep the words of Jesus is to keep the words of John. No way around it. Everything in this book is for your benefit. For your correction and training in righteousness. Everything in here so that you may believe. Faith alone in Jesus alone saves you. Do you believe it? Mm-hmm. You will be persecuted if you believe. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Your sins are wicked and wrong and are trying to separate you from your Savior and will kill you eternally if you let them. Do you believe that? It's all in the same book, and they all have the same author. They do not pick and choose what to believe in this book in Nigeria, in North Korea. They simply cling to all of it, even while being martyred. Why do we pick and choose? We know the answer. America. I need us all to hear this. American culture is not your Savior. Will not be here forever. It changes like the waves of the sea. The thing that was good last year is not good this year. Amen. Jesus is your Savior and the only one who can offer forever. But you will have to choose, and it will mean persecution. Nearly half the country already demands it, and their leaders campaign on it. Persecution is already here.
Amen.
So to be accepted here for a moment, to be left alone or fitting in for a moment, or eternal joy, eternal peace, though it means it will be hard here. What will it be? He is the way, the only way. Repent and believe. Repent why? Guilty of sin. Verse 22. And verse 22 seemingly takes a turn here. Our last few verses can be confusing if we let them, so let's take a look at what's being said. If you have faith, if you love Jesus, then you will be hated and will be persecuted by the world. That is definite. Definite because the ruler of this world knows he can never return home. He chose himself over God, and he wants you to do the same. Then, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. If I had not spoken, then not guilty of sin. What does that mean? If Jesus would have stayed silent, then we would have all been fine. Is that it? No. We know this because it's the fall of mankind that leaves us in sin and in need of a Savior, not the coming of Jesus. The fall didn't start when Jesus arrived. We also know this because later in this text, he links his actions to no guilt of sin. If they had not seen the things or heard my words, then no guilt. So what is going on? Our context here is key. The love of God versus the love of the world. Hated by the world, persecuted by the world, because you have faith in Jesus. So what sin are we talking about? Every sin that has ever existed? No. It is rather the specific sin in our text of rejecting the Son of God. John 14, 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3, 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The sin in our text is the sin of rejecting the Son, and the people he refers to have no excuse because of the things they have seen and the things that they have heard point to Jesus being that Son. They would not have the guilt of rejecting the Son if he had never come. But he stands in front of them and they rejected him. If he had never spoken, if he had never performed the works of God, then the sin of rejection would not be theirs. The only problem is that salvation would not be theirs either. We need him in our place, the sinless for the sinner. The cost was unimaginable and unpayable until the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do we see that? What if I told you that vanilla ice cream was the best ice cream? Then you would have a response, right? You would have your own opinion. Maybe it's vanilla for you. Maybe it's chocolate. Maybe it's strawberry. Maybe it's something weird. I just called the rest of you weird. You know all the flavors you see on the shelves at stores, whatever brand that is. I've got some of the, you can't even pronounce them, weird flavors. You can get pepper ice cream, right? Spicy, hot ice cream. You can reject my vanilla ice cream statement, but only after I stated it, right? You can't stand against something that is not yet known. That is what is represented in our text. They could only deny him being the Son of God after he said it. After he revealed it through his words and his actions, only then could their sin be denying Jesus. Before, it was the sin of something else. It's always been sin, faithlessness, all throughout history. Then their own Messiah appears before them, and they say no thanks. That's the sin in view here. They've had some other sins, right? Plenty of them. We all do. This is more important focus here this morning. Not something that you're unaware of, though they do exist. Some things that we're unaware of do exist, right? We don't know all things, including our sins. We've done things we don't realize were bad in the moment. More important, the things you know about, the things you dwell on, the things that you know pull you down. Everything in this book to reveal who we are and who we need. Everything in this book so that we may repent and believe. The world denies it. The world runs full speed to any other direction, but the world also knows of the truth. We know this. Maybe not fully, maybe has not heard the gospel yet, maybe has not met the Son of God fully yet, but knows of, and we know this because of the hate. We know this because of the persecution of the things and the people of God. That would not happen if there wasn't something known, if there wasn't some sort of difference. We're going to close here this morning by asking ourselves where we stand. With the world or with God is the easy question. The more complex and thought-provoking question is what things in your life point to. Is it Jesus? The people of God and the Word of God is the only place to find that answer. The people of God and the Word of God is the only place where you can come to God. You must know yourself as a sinner, and you must know Jesus as your Savior. And those things come from the church. Those things come from the Word lighting up your life. And the people of the church bringing it to you. The question is, where do you stand? What do you need to let go of? Which parts of this book have you glossed over? Which truths of this book are you running from? Because it must be all of it, and although it will never be all of it perfectly, it cannot be ignored. Repent and believe. And you may be thinking right now, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the thoughts I've had while sitting here. And you're right. But there is one who knows. He knows all. Look at our last verse, verse 25. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Law here means, he speaks of Jews and their rejection of their Messiah. And fulfilled means the prophet said it would happen. They hated me without cause, is Psalm 35:19. God knew Jesus would be hated. The Father knew the Son would be killed. It was the whole point. He also knew exactly who you would be and where you would be this morning. He knew the thoughts in your mind right now before time began. The sovereign God of the universe, and that same God who seems impossibly big, that same God sent His Son for you. All of you. Every word of yours, every deed, every thought, everything that is combined to make you the person that sits here this morning, all of you, He knew it all, and He sent His Son anyway. He knew the moment that they would condemn Him. He knew the moment in which in agony He would bear the sin of all who would believe in Him. Knows the moment you're facing right now. What is on your heart this morning? What weighs you down? Some struggle? There's many of those in this life we live. Some sin. Come and give it to Him. If it is faith that you seek, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. What's that look like? You proclaim that you are a sinner and that Jesus died for you. And you will be loved by God and you will love Him. What will it be? What do we love more, the world or Jesus? What will we share with others more, the world or Jesus? And it is not love or hate. That's not what we're looking at this morning. It is love and hate. Love God and hate evil, or love evil and hate God. Which will it be for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for this morning together. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that we have Your words to us in our hands. Father, we thank You that sometimes, even when we get into hard passages, things we don't want to hear, things we don't want to grapple with, we thank You that those are for our benefit too. Help us see what You have for us this morning in a very real way. Help us see the contrast in our life between loving You and loving the world, whatever that means for the individual. Help us see as the church where we can push out of this place and in the world with the gospel, because it is the only way to be saved. It is the only way to see the light in the darkness. Help us have that courage today. Father, as we leave, help us pray to love You more. In Jesus' name I pray.